Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, and Wesley. And we're like Cher. We have no last names, people. Just see what I did there?
Yeah.
Was it a bad one? Bad joke?
I didn't see what you did. Go again.
Oh, so y'all were paying attention to me. I said, Tim, yes. I'm Tim with Ed and Wesley. I said, we're like Cher. We don't have last names.
Oh, like Cher.
C-H-E-R.
I thought you said we don't like to share gypsies, our last names.
Gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
Okay.
Huh? You remember that song?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Just don't call me a half-breed.
No. Just don't call you a half-breed? Okay.
I did think that you were saying we don't share our last
names. That's what I thought.
Like on radio, like as if there's some secret
here. Okay.
Because it was share-a-thon.
No.
And we're celebrities, so we don't want to have our name out there.
Oh, yeah. Name. We're celebrities.
Right. We're like Sting. Does that help you?
Actually,
help
celebrities anybody? Would be the opposite. Your name would be out there. So,
all right. Mind. Steve Paisley Jordahl is in here. Good morning, Brother Steve.
I have three names.
You
apparently.
Do. Steve Paisley Jordahl.
So I've been a radio a while, and I've worked with several people who decided that they want aliases. They don't use their real name on the radio.
Right.
So I guess because they don't want to.
Years ago, we had people here on the air who did not use their real names. One of them was a young lady,
I remember.
Were
they phonies?
Huh?
So they were phonies?
No, they just, especially this is a lady, and I think just for protection.
What was her name?
Safety. I'm not going to say it.
I was just trying to bait you into that one. A lot of people use aliases or change their name for radio purposes or for especially in the entertainment industry because their name is too awkward or it's long and they want a more easily spoken name.
That's right. I don't know how I got away with Jordahl for 30 years.
Hey,
but
Vitagliano.
Vitagliano. That's why I just say Ed's here.
Right.
You know? All right. Now, I think people need to listen up if they want to increase their church budgets.
Yep.
Right? You want to increase the giving at your church, ladies and gentlemen. We have a real-life example on how you can try to do this. Steve, you want to set this up for us?
Yeah, so we have a pastor, and I wasn't going to name him, but you know him.
We do.
I am going to name him.
Okay.
We do?
Yes. This is Pastor Marvin Winans of the Winan Brothers.
Really?
Yeah. From Perfecting Church in Detroit.
Like BB and CC Winan?
Yes.
Okay.
The
brother of. Okay,
brother
so
of.
He pastors a church in Detroit.
He does. And he thinks he's the Apostle Peter. If you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira,
yeah,
when they came down and they said they gave everything and they didn't, and so
he doesn't literally believe he's the incarnate of Peter.
No, but he's acting like it.
Okay, so we have a video that's only it was released,
yep.
I guess, by the church.
I doubt it. Someone took it,
or somebody. Anyway, so what happens? So we're going to listen to what happens.
So they're having a fundraising, and this is the kind of fundraising where people walk up to the pulpit with a donation and say what they're giving. It's not the Baptist way, at least my Baptist way of doing things. But let's listen to what happened. Cut 11.
Gave me breast tree for my COPD.
Oh, sorry.
You didn't cut the commercial out?
I thought I did.
I, Roberta McCoy, giving faith and stand in unity with the vision of Perfecting Church of sowing this seed of $1,000 plus $235 and receiving the blessings to come to all that participated.
Now that's only $1,200.
Yes.
Y'all not listening to what I'm saying. If you have $1,000 plus $1,000,
well, I'm going to work on the other 800.
Well, that ain't what I asked you to do.
What happened after that?
She walked off.
She didn't.
She had
a child
with her. I saw the video. Yeah. And so my child comment, with her too? Well, you walk up with your family and it was just her and I don't know whether it was a child or a grandchild.
So she's telling how much money she's donating to the church.
Yeah.
And the pastor doesn't agree with that.
I was going to say, if you have complaints about your church, it could always be worse. You could be humiliated in front of the entire congregation for not giving.
We were supposed to say the moral principle to the end. We were supposed to have a little more fun with that.
So do you agree with what he did there?
No.
Not?
Man, no.
Absolutely not.
No. First of all, and listen, now this, I don't know what kind of church this is. I'm guessing it's charismatic. / Pentecostal.
Why do they do this?
Like that. They
have a reputation.
Listen, I remember being at Bible College, which is a charismatic Bible college in Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the president, who was the wife, the founder, he had died, but she was running the school. Okay, she was the president. And on Tuesday nights, all the students had to be there for kind of like a chapel, kind of a church service. And once a year, they would do fundraiser because it was open to the public. And they took up the offering, and the preacher was preaching, and it wasn't enough.
They counted it right there on the spot?
Well, no, in the back. And she came back, and she said, no, we need more money. And she took up four offerings.
Wow.
No, she
did not.
Yes,
she did. Yes,
in one service?
In one service, four offerings. She said, y'all. So what I'm saying, and I'm not – I want to be careful here.
We're getting churches, away from you. Hold on.
Don't be careful. Stop.
Do what you think is right. But
okay, that's true. I agree.
I'm guessing this is probably a charismatic or Pentecostal church because I don't like you telling everybody what you're giving. It seems to contradict what Jesus says in Matthew 6.
Let your left hand know what your right hand
is
doing.
Yes. Absolutely. If you give, don't let everyone know what you're giving. Let your heavenly Father know, who sees what you do in secret. So I would disagree, but it's a free country, and they have.
Well, not that church. You got to pay.
Well played, Steve.
And you don't listen. That's another thing. I don't like the fact that you're embarrassing people who don't have the full $2,000.
You know why it worked on the fourth offering line? Because people didn't want to hear that same offertory for a fifth time, man. They got tired of it.
Well, they wanted to go home.
Did they lock the doors?
No, they didn't do that.
I want to see the video to this. All right, how would I look this up?
Look up Pastor Shame's
is that his name?
Donation. His name is
Shame.
Marvin
Shame,
Winans.
Shame. Oh, Pastor Shane.
No, he said Shames.
Keywords to look it up?
Oh,
Pastor
I'm sorry.
Shames.
Okay, you said Pastor.
Yeah, it does sound like Pastor Shames.
Separate word, Shames.
Yeah.
What was his name again?
Marvin Winans. Yeah.
And listen, we don't know any of the other context here, if there is.
I don't think you know.
Okay, I know, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying this is in the news. And that their church business is their church business.
It is.
But it's just, it's not something you see every day.
No.
Where a pastor says, you ain't giving enough.
Now,
right there in front of God and everybody.
Now, it could be
okay.
That what the pastor said is, here's the challenge, $1,000, and you match that with $1,000.
Right.
And if you want to do that, come on down.
Right. Right.
And she
Price is right.
And then she came on down and gave $1,200.
Right.
So it could be that she was the one who was not following direction.
Right. Right. He was just saying, this isn't what I'm talking about.
This is not what I'm talking about. I said 1,000 plus 1,000. You're trying to get credit for 1,000 plus 1,000 by only giving 1,000 plus 200.
Right. So go sit down.
So
who knows how algorithms work all the time, but it just so happens the first link that pulls up is from International Business Times, but yet this is happening in a church.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Yeah. So now I have seen a way that why are you laughing?
Because I don't know where else you could possibly go.
Well,
with
I just want to close. I'll just close with this. How many times have you heard your pastor say that?
And you go,
that's not true. You're not closing with that.
You're going to close with
let me close with this.
You preach the sermon over again.
Let me close with this, and then we'll move on to the next topic. I have seen a way which is a little less confrontational than that, but not much, which would increase giving at your church for offerings. That is, you have every church has screens up front now, almost, right?
Yep.
Where they show the songs, lyrics.
Yeah.
or they whatever, or
evangelical churches
announcements. Yeah. Oh, maybe not Catholic churches or
Catholics. No.
Presbyterians do that, or they
probably most of them don't.
All right. Well, anyway, for those who do, well, Presbyterians and Catholics might want to pay attention to what I'm saying. Then, if they want to,
Eastern Orthodox.
Okay. They got the incense though.
They do.
Amish churches probably don't either.
They're not short of incense. All right. Well, I shouldn't have started down that road. I was trying to make a point.
Go ahead. Make
the
your point
being. Put you some big screens up there up front if you don't have them, and then get you a camera, a cell phone or whatever, and pass the offering plate. And you follow along down the aisle. You see what I'm saying? In real time.
Oh, I see it.
In real time while the offering plate's being passed, and you're showing the faces of the people in the audience, and it's appearing on the big screen.
Yes, so everyone can tell who's giving and who's
that
not.
Way the people aren't saying how much they're giving, so they're not violating the scripture you're
right.
talking about or bragging. But everybody in the church sees how much they're giving.
Well, you know what I would do in that situation?
So what would you
I would keep a sign. I'd come to church with a sign.
Okay.
And when the camera got on me,
yep.
I would hold up the sign that says, I gave online. And I would put it down. So you're not embarrassing me.
I gave online.
That was a good one, Ed.
I got a better idea.
All right.
So I think what you do, the pastor says, we're going to take an offering. Everybody stand up. Now reach into the pocket or the purse of the person in front of you. Grab their wallet and give like you've always wanted to.
So you need to violate one of the big ten in order,
right.
in order to give. All right, what's your next story?
All right, well, the Trump derangement syndrome is...
I've got it.
Still...
Right now. You need to help me. Go ahead.
I think we're going to have to if we're fortunate, maybe, they're going to have to figure out how they can talk about Vance derangement syndrome, because he's next in line if the Republicans win. He's a likely candidate for the White House.
Front runner.
And they're already lining up against him. I want to play you something from Jen Psaki. She was the former White House spokesperson for Joe Biden for a while. And she was on a podcast called I've Had It.
Is she going to circle back?
She might circle back. She definitely.
That is a hit. That's a hit from yesteryear. Ed.
Yes, it was.
Well, she's talking about J.D. Vance and his wife Usha. 10.
I think the little mentoring candidate J.D. Vance wants to be president
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
more than anything else.
Yeah.
I always wonder what's going on in the mind of his wife. Like,
agreed.
Are you okay? Please blink four times.
Yes.
We'll come over here. We'll save you. And that he's willing to do anything to get there. And that your whole iteration you just outlined, I mean, he's scarier in certain ways.
He's smarter.
In some ways. And he's young.
Oh, man.
Don't let Trump hear that. He's smarter.
He's smarter.
Yeah.
We were having a little bit of fun with the church thing. And then, Steve, you had to bring us down with that. That kind of thing just infuriates me. Because, okay, first of all, smarmy and snarky. I don't like that. They get in there. It's like, I'm sorry, but a couple ladies having coffee down at Starbucks and talking about their neighbors. It's gossipy
mm-hmm.
Because they are making all kinds of implications that they can't back up with facts. I mean, J.D. Vance, his wife is what? She's a prisoner there? That J.D. Vance is a Manchurian candidate? In other words, somebody's gotten in his head and controlling him like a puppet?
Vice president doesn't want to be president?
That's what I was
saying. Yeah, you're not telling me Hillary Clinton didn't want to be president?
I don't think she did.
Right.
I mean, it's the hypocrisy of these people. And then they accuse President Trump of lowering the niceness level of politics. And they pull this kind of stuff. You know, Jen Psaki, she's not dumb. She's a pretty smart lady. But that kind of comment, I used to think, well, she was doing her job. But that's just gossipy, smarmy, and snarky. And no, that isn't a law firm in Memphis.
All right, next story, Steve.
All right. We've been talking for a bit about the way that Europe is cracking down on free speech, specifically on the internet posts. They are throwing people in prison in England for posting things that they say are hate speech and are inciting hate. Well, we finally have a country that kind of is pushing back, and this is Spain, because Spain arrested a priest. His name is Father Custodio Ballester, and he was arrested after writing an article called The Impossible Dialogue with Islam, in which he wrote, I feel a moral obligation to speak the truth. One cannot speak of dialogue when in Islamic countries, Christians are persecuted, murdered, or forced to pay the jizya to survive. You can't have a conversation with Muslims. They don't want to talk, is what he's saying. And so he went to court, and the court dismissed, acquitted him. So at least there's a court in Spain that's kind of pushing back.
Does it mainly?
It does, mainly
in Spain.
Mainly
on the plane?
Yes.
Okay.
The court in Spain on the plane. See, that helps me get, that gets my mood back.
Okay.
Thank you, Tim.
While riding a train.
Yes.
But you got to stay in your lane.
You guys, okay, now you're going from cheering
just,
me up.
Now you're just being a pain.
That was a good way. Steve, just close that segment for us.
Okay.
So we can move on.
Transition.
All right.
Tim, Ed, Wesley, I'll separate this for you. And Steve Paisley Jordahl, and we got 8.5 more minutes left.
Because we want to be sane.
Well, see, Ed had to.
I had to, you know.
Put his last rhyme.
Listen, that is a good news story.
Yeah, it is.
Because too many places in Europe are punishing people who just simply have free speech if they're not saying the government-approved thing.
Yeah.
Which is you can't criticize Muslims, you can't criticize homosexuals, you it's can't say pro-life things.
They might
even though Muslims
feel
criticize
bad.
Homosexuals.
Yes.
They might feel bad.
Yeah, throw them off the
That's
roof.
That's what I'm saying. All right, go ahead, Steve.
All right, we have a professor at San Diego State University named Jean Twenge who has been looking at some data, and here's what she found. The number of young adults identifying as transgender has been cut by half in 2 years.
Cut by half?
Among 18 to 22-year-old, trans identification was cut nearly in half from 22 to 24. And non-binary identification dropped by more than half in 23 and 24. She doesn't, at least in this article, doesn't give a specific reason. She might in the study. But I'm saying that I think the time of the...
Trendy.
The trendy or...
it's trendy to be bi or trans.
Go ahead. What's the word that it's contagious?
Social contagion.
Social contagion.
So, go ahead, Wesley.
Can we speculate on this show?
Speculate. Well, we got social contagions running around
all,
here.
That's all we do.
And
sometimes.
I think that spawns
that's
a good word.
I don't have a study in front of me, or I haven't asked anybody that falls in this camp. But I would imagine that there was a good time period there where people were very convinced, I do know this for sure, that LGBT people were being attacked and their rights and it wasn't fair and the world's against them and we got to make adjustments and policies and all that. I do think there's a time period where there were the younger generation did feel guilty or bad for them based on what they were saying. But I think enough time's passed that the younger generation sees that that's just simply not true. Nobody's asking for their gender at a barber shop before they cut their hair, right? So I think enough time's passed where they see that they've exaggerated and or just lied about them not having rights or whatever, to the point where I think during that time period there were some people that just identified as it to say, I'm with them, I support them. And these people obviously didn't have a moral conscience to them or Christian or anything like that, to the point where they were willing to take whatever came their way just to say, I stand with my LGBT friends, so yeah, I'm bisexual or something like that. But I think your numbers are starting to drop. I think I'm speculating because you're seeing that we've been doing this for 20 years, being the Republicans, conservative Christians, being accused of being a hater, and there's just nothing there. All you get is a Smollett.
Yeah, Jesse Smollett.
You want to see their head spin? Move Gay Pride Month to February, where it only has 28 days.
And it's a cold month in most places.
Yeah, the parades would be a lot better because they'd have to dress up.
They'd have to wear clothes.
I think in pop culture, it's the last 5 to 10 years, the trans issue's been front and center, and it's being it was about all that was left to be promoted by Hollywood and the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And so they began to get a lot of sympathy, the trans people, because they're being persecuted and and bullied. And so so there was – and it was promoted. And I think – Yeah, it was promoted. I'm saying where it came from, pop culture. And so when it's promoted, then these – 14, 15, 13, 15, whatever year olds said, hey, yeah, I'm trans. I'm raised my hand. I'm trans too. Mm-hmm. When they really weren't.
Right.
And so,
they were trying to be part of the number.
Now things are maybe coming back to what they really are. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, can I just say one thing on this?
Yes, you can.
Can I?
Yeah.
Let me just shift to Wesley's point. My wife and I were at a restaurant, over the weekend. And I won't name it, but it's pretty well known.
Is it the Winans restaurant?
No. And we sat down, and another couple of folks came in, and one of them was clearly a dude with a wig and a dress.
Dude like a lady?
It's and so my wife, I always sit with so I can face the door, see who's coming in. So when they walked by, I told my wife, I said, that was not a girl. That was a guy. Okay, my point is, it's Mississippi. Nobody said a word. I didn't say anything. Nobody dragged the dude outside, beat him up.
Right.
Nobody refused him service.
Right.
And I think to Wesley's point, a lot of young people are seeing that's not really happening anywhere. I mean, if it doesn't happen in Mississippi,
It might happen if he steps into the ladies' restroom and there's a little girl in there.
Well, that's
a dad might decide time to.
But anyway, to Wesley's point.
No, the whole bullying and beating him up and harassing him, that's just not true.
Right.
No, it only happens if you're a Christian.
That's just not true. Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
All right. Got examples. Go ahead.
Let's end here. I want to introduce you to Carlitos Ricardo Parias. He's 44.
Who?
Carlitos Ricardo Parias.
Okay.
He's a 44-year-old illegal alien from Mexico, and he has been charged with assault on a federal officer because he rammed him in with a car. And that's making kind of big news now in the city of Los Angeles. But here's the thing. So they've arrested him. It was only a couple years ago that the city of Los Angeles gave him a certificate of recognition in honor of his unswerving commitment to keep South Los Angeles community informed, empowered, and protected. And now he's ramming his car into... He was, by the way, got into a gunfight with the ICE agents.
This sounds like a participation award he got here.
Well,
certificate of recognition.
It was for unswerving. apparently, he didn't swerve enough.
No, he ran right into him.
Wait a minute, he's an illegal alien.
Yes.
As opposed to like a legal alien.
As opposed to a legal alien.
It's like come from outer space. We all know that.
So he
got a recognition, and now he's
arrested.
That's unfortunate.
What was his name again?
Carlitos Ricardo Parias.
Very disappointed in him. Aren't you, Ed?
Well, I think he should have swerved. You know, you take these...
Was anybody hurt?
There was an ICE agent that was injured by a ricocheted bullet, and he was hurt. No, neither one of them, seriously.
And this guy was the one that did it?
Yeah.
Allegedly?
No. Yes. I don't know if he had the gun or if he was being...
You got
the
10
car
seconds
is a weapon.
Accurate.
I don't think he had a gun. I think the car was the weapon, and they were...
To be continued.
Yeah.
Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.